This evening we're going to be doing a sermon and song, and we're going to look at songs that disciples sing. So we're going to look at the different songs that disciples will sing and what they'll sing about. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, as children of God, we have different songs that we sing all throughout our life, and they're about different things, and we'll explore that as we go along. We'll begin by singing number 499. Oh, to be like thee, let's live, and to know how he'd want us to be and what we would, what we could do in our life to bring glory to him. And one of the things of which Jesus did so well as an example unto us is in serving others and living a life of a servant. And so when we sing songs as disciples, we sing songs about serving others. In Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. When we think about doing good for each other and doing good for our neighbor, I think about the story of the Good Samaritan, and how when Jesus was asked, "Who is my neighbor?" and he rebutted that question back at the end of the story with, "Who was this man's neighbor?" In a society where so many people are rejected and neglected and looked down on and downtrodden, we as Christians should be about serving others and about taking in and doing good to those neighbors, even though they're not like us. Jesus took those who were full of sin and did kindness unto them. And we in our society, a lot of times, we will make fun of sin, we will mock sin, but the last thing that we do is do good for someone who is in sin. We don't stick out a hand to help those, we want to help those who are like us. And in so many ways and in so many times, yet we even fail to do that, to do good to our own brothers and sisters in Christ. We let those people go in need that we know we can help, and we look at those who are in sin, and we go, we could let our light shine unto them where they know there really are Christians who care. There really are Christians who want to help others, that are really living like Jesus called them to be. But so many times we stir up strife and we stir up turmoil rather than being a servant towards our fellow man and having one mind and one mouth that is able to glorify God. So when we are disciples, we should be singing songs about serving one another. Number one in our song book is A Beautiful Life. We sing songs about telling others about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrew writer tells us about what Jesus had done for us that nothing else could do, and how Jesus sets himself apart as our high priest and as our sacrifice. Beginning in verse 11, he says this, "But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." The greatest thing to ever be told is the gospel, which is truly the good news, as so beautifully explained this morning by Brother Robert, that the gospel is the power of salvation. And it is through faith that we are able to be redeemed. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is in that faith in Christ Jesus, as Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's mercy. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It is within Jesus Christ that redemption is found. It is within Jesus Christ that salvation is found. It is within Jesus Christ that all of our hope is found. And in no other place could that hope be found. And it is because of that hope, because of redemption, that we sing and we're able to tell others, and we sing just as the angels in heaven sing this song. Number 39 in our big book. Among all the blessings that come with being a Christian, knowing that we are able to go before God in prayer and talk with God, and to know that God is there with us and He is there as our guide and our helper and our friend. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, Jesus appreciated this very same thing. And in rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place. And there He prayed. We think about all the times that Jesus slipped away to go somewhere to pray, and how many times Jesus wanted to withdraw Himself from the crowd to go pray, to be alone with God, to be alone. And you think about that very evening, the night in which He was betrayed, where Jesus goes to the garden alone. And He brings along a couple of disciples and He says, sit here and pray while I go over here and pray. And even amongst all the turmoil and all the chaos that surrounded Him in His time of life, knowing that the hour was at hand where He would be handed over, He desired to be alone with God. Do we sing and do we talk about our prayer life? Do we pray? Do people know that we pray? Are people able to see us in prayer with God? I can find no greater place to be caught than in prayer. For someone to know that we are praying, and to know that we value our relationship with God, and knowing that we can go before the presence of God at any time and at any hour, and to just simply be alone with God and talk with Him, and know that He walks with us and that He is our guide in every way. I come to the garden alone. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This idea of being in one and being in unison with God, being in unison with Jesus and the Father. As we sung that song, it brought me back to remembering the idea of being in the presence of God. And there's different people have different places that they go when they want to be alone with God or just alone. And in the south end of this county, there's a lot of places you can go in Iraqi that you can find a place to be alone where there's not a lot of people that can find you. And I've got a particular place I go that's way out by the Tennessee River, and there's nobody there. I mean, if you find somebody there, they're lost. You know, you just don't stumble up on that spot. And you can just go there and you can be alone. And I've thrown every rock that I could find, it seems like, on some nights, as I pray to God and just think about the vast world that we live in, and where can we go and what can we do. And it reminds me of just this long walk that you could take where you're by yourself and that but you're not alone. And you know that there's someone there with you, and you know there's somebody there beside you, but you don't know who they are, and you know that it's you and God. And there's nothing that can come between you and what you do. Number 417 is My God and I. As we think about this world will pass, and when this world passes, all of its trouble, all of its care, all of its heartache and despair will just go away. And we are comforted in that fact that this is not our resting place. This is not our final destination because we have a home that which we're trying to get to. We have a home in which we're striving for and trying to get to. And in keeping with the idea of faith from this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that we were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. We go through this life not to be sidetracked, as Satan would so desire us to do, and to get caught up in all of the distractions and all of the detractors as we go through life. And getting consumed with this world and all of its things in this world, but rather having faith. And knowing that God is there and He has us protected and He has us safe and that we are walking through this life going home. Number 39 carries on this idea that this world is not our home, but rather we're just simply pilgrims here going through this land. And we're going to a place called home. Paul was able to keep this in mind when being content. That is, that this world is not his home. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter our state in which we find ourselves in this life, we can be happy and be content in the fact that we know that this is temporary, that this place is not permanent, and that we are going home to God. And I guess the thought comes to mind is, where is home? And I found the idea that as we think about it as being disciples of Jesus and the other songs that we have sung, that anywhere we go, as long as we are children of God, anywhere that we go, as long as we are with God, that can be home. Number 44 in the big book is anywhere is home. We need to keep in mind that as we go through this life, that this earth is here only for a limited time. That is just like a vapor to only quickly vanish away. We only have so much time here on this earth. And everything that we do on this earth is done either to do one thing or the other. It's either going to glorify God and honor Him, or it's going to dishonor God. It's going to glorify Satan. And what we do, we only have those two ways to choose from. How you live your life dictates where you will spend eternity. And whether you live for God and trust in Him and have faith in Jesus Christ as your chance of redemption, the only hope that you have to be fully immersed into Him and His life and His death and immersed into that body of water to rise up in newness of life, showing that your faith and knowing that you trust in Him and knowing that by that water and by that blood of Jesus Christ that you have been cleansed and that you're fully redeemed and you're spotless and you're sinless and you're perfect in the eyes of God. So the question you must answer is, are you living as a disciple and singing these glorious songs, or are you living as an enemy to Jesus Christ? The answer will be made by you this very moment. As we sing this invitation song, we invite those who are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, those who are not living for Him, those who are living for self, living for Satan, living for others, living for worldly treasures, living for worldly goods, living for anything other than God. And you continue to sit there in your seat and you continue to stand up in that pew, whatever you choose to do, and you choose not to follow Him. You have made a decision to go in like the wide gate, the broad way, that which is easy. If you've made that change within your heart and you sing to encourage others, you make that change in your heart and you say, you know what, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of being an enemy of Him. I'm tired of all these sleepless nights. I'm tired of all this heartache and despair. I'm tired of all this living for myself and realizing that there is no end to me doing something on my own. It can't be done. And I choose to come and to submit myself to God's will and submit myself to Him and to have peace and to carry His yoke, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And there's comfort and peace within the body of Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and you want to answer that invitation call, you want to become a child of God, we're going to sing number 255, the first and last verses of this song. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.